Welcome to Law Subscribed. This is your dedicated news source for all things subscriptions in the law. My name is Matthew Kurbis. I'm the subscription attorney, and I believe subscriptions can help bridge the access to justice gap and incentivize attorneys to modernize and scale their practice like never before. On this show, I interview lawyers ditching the billable hour and experts who can help attorneys move beyond billing time. Thanks to my sponsors, 650 and Gavel, links to both in the show notes, more on them later, and use the code LAWSUBSCRIBED when signing up. You get 10% off, and it supports the show. The best way to support the show is to share it with someone you know. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only, and nothing said is legal, ethical, or financial advice. Without further delay, here's the episode. Kimberly Bennett, thank you so much for being here on Law Subscribed.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you're here because my journey on the subscription model happened late 2018, where the idea just sort of dawned on me. I was thinking about something else and thought about subscriptions and law, and then I started to do my research on it. And it wasn't until the pandemic when I was attending copious amounts of CLEs and other sorts of Zoominars, as I've come to call them. And at one of these CLEs, some presenter, and I don't even remember what the topic was, but she brought up how when she thinks of subscriptions and legal practice, she thinks of Kim Bennett. And I don't even remember anything else that happened in that presentation, because as soon as I heard that, I was like, I have to find this Kim Bennett person. And this was, it was like mid-2020 maybe. And You were very easy to find. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
and you were very easy to schedule the time to talk about the subscription model. And so we chatted, and you validified a lot of ideas that I had about it, and our conversation also opened up new paths for me to think about with the subscription model and other ways to apply it that I hadn't quite thought of before. And it was really after that conversation that the idea of engaging in journalism around the subscription model sort of formed for me, beyond just wanting to launch a subscription model for my own practice. And so when I finally figured out what I was going to do with Law Subscribed, I thought, well, this is the person I need to have on the first episode of Law Subscribed. And because I've already done some interviews and you tend to keep coming up, I think that this just makes so much sense to have you here. So I guess my first question for you is, how did you become known as that person?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I will say I've been on this journey for a long time, and I actually just kept really quiet about it. I didn't talk about it a lot, just did it. And I'll be honest, because there's a lot of naysayers in our industry that things don't work, you shouldn't do it. I knew I hated hourly. I had zero desire to do it after getting burned a lot by it. And then I had a couple of friends that started pushing me, like, just teach it, just tell people, talk about it more, because people were talking about it. And I was like, well, this is the practice model that I actually use. It does work. And I'm like, no, this is the model I use. It does work. And so that came up a lot in groups and conversations. And then I started talking about it a bit more. In 2018 is when I started teaching and coaching it. So I think the elevation of teaching and coaching it and really sharing my model is where that ended up probably taking off even more.
So then give just a brief introduction of yourself and your practice and what you're doing now with the subscription model. And I know you do so much more, and we will get into that.
Sure. So I run a brand strategy law practice, which means that we really help CEOs and executive teams transform the world by leveraging their IP portfolio and really building out equity aligned teams. And it's been a journey to get to that. I started in labor and employment. I didn't start in this space. And I started in a company. And I thought, how could I do a little more of that and really create impact? So that's what I do day to day in my practice. So I still practice, still run this model. And I serve clients that are established, that have been going a little bit, to those that are really like multi-$1 million and above.
So was it at this company that you worked at when you first thought of the subscription model for law? Was it you were practicing law when you first thought about applying the subscription model? When was that?
Yeah, it was after I left the company. So when I worked in-house, we didn't bill for time. We billed out to our line of businesses, but it wasn't in the way that firms did. This was pre-market crashing in 08. So I was working in a company, market crashed, And when I left the company in 2010, it was like, well, what do you do? And I went into private practice the way that people told you to go into private practice, did a lot of the traditional ways, initially really thought I needed tech to do more of what I wanted to do. And then while I was practicing, like I said, I lost a ton of money doing hourly. And I said, there has to be a better way. And so I pitched a client who I was already working with. And I said, hey, what would it look like if I did this for you at this cost? They said, yes, a little too fast, but it was really amazing. Cause I was like, dang, I'm a negotiator. So when, you know, as a negotiator, when people say yes fast, it makes you say, damn it, I should have asked a little more, but they said yes. And the rest is history. Right. And then I've just iterated over the years. So it started from wanting to serve my clients differently and wanting to show up differently and hating hourly billing.
And it really surprises me to hear that your client said yes so fast, because at least, you know, individual consumers have just in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years now really gotten used to the subscription model, right? Whether it's Amazon Prime, you know, Disney Plus, you know, plug whatever other subscription we're all paying for, you know, and so do you think that was because it was a business client and they're maybe used to paying for SaaS products, that they were used to that, or was it just the way you presented it? How did that work, you know, way back when?
Yeah, I would say I did not use subscription as a term. That is not how I viewed it. It was just presented, what if I work with you ongoing without us thinking about hourly and we just worked in this way? So I think it's a bit of how I presented it. We did have a relationship, so I'm not going to discount the fact that we already had a relationship. And also, I think they were open to what it looked like working with someone ongoing. That's what they were looking for. And I think predictability is nice to know, like, oh, I could just pay this and I don't have to worry about other pieces. They worked with other attorneys. So it wasn't that they were new to working with attorneys. So I think all that combined, and I'm sure being in business, it made it a little bit easier too.
Yeah. And it's one thing, like, when you're in it, especially as long as you've been in it, to understand the, you know, the benefits of the subscription model. And since I've been researching it, and obviously I'm biased, I think it's going to change the profession for the better for the future and the clients, right? But let's try to break down what's your perspective on what the actual pros and cons are of this model? You know, what works really well given all your experience, and what hasn't worked, and how have you know, what have you tried to do to you know, fix those shortcomings of the model?
Yeah, I think what works really well, transparency, predictability on both sides, right? What works really well if you scope the work. What works really well if you don't overpromise, right? I don't think that's purposefully done. I think we are just used to, as professionals, as service-based professionals who happen to be lawyers, of just saying, we're going to do a divorce. We're going to draft a document. But like, what does that actually mean? No one understands that. So we use language that really doesn't resonate with the clients that we're working with. What doesn't work well, doing it an hourly. And I know that because I did it, right? Because the journey to me going to a flat fee and understanding subscriptions truly are flat fees ongoing month after month or whatever term that you've decided is because I was doing it initially like, okay, so it's a month. That is still just repackaging hourly. So it's really moving off of that mindset. I think there are some practice areas where maybe you have to rethink how you're showing up for the client. So it might be a supplement versus being like the main piece. You know, a lot of people tell me, well, do it in so many practice areas. It's just rethinking how you show up for the clients. I think if we always sit, it's not a reactive model, right? So what doesn't work if you're only sitting in reactive? Sure, you can do that, but really the goal is to empower clients and be more proactive to the extent you can. If you're a litigator, there's still proactive steps you can take, right? Not everything's going to be, but there's still ways to approach it. So I think it's really shifting away from how we were traditionally taught to think and moving to much more of a proactive client-centered, doesn't mean client-only, but client-centered model.
And I think it's really important you said the proactive piece, because one of the analogies that I've tried to use to help sell the idea is it's like the gym membership, right? Where, and that's, you know, you were talking about scoping the work, right? So if everyone came to the gym at the same time who's a subscriber to the gym, there's not enough equipment for everyone, right? There's only so many hours in the day. You can't service maybe all of your clients if you really scale your subscription model, you know, for legal services, but it's about being proactive, where a gym doesn't have to be proactive, right? They're sitting back, making money. People may or may not come to the gym. And I even thought of this as on the fly right here, but it would be the,
right.
to stick with the analogy, it would be if the gym said, And some gyms do this, you know, hey, come, you know, we've got these classes, you know, they send things to be, they like say, you know, make sure you're doing this, these types of activities at home. It'd be like the gym reaching out to you and saying, you know, here's ways that you could, you're a subscriber, you want to be fit, you want to be healthy. Here are ways at home, or here are things you could do to be fit and be healthy. And by the way, hey, come on into the gym, right? So, but the equivalent of that as an attorney about being proactive.
Yes. So what is the equipment? Is that what you're asking? Just to make sure I'm...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's a great example, because a lot of people say to me, well, what if I don't deliver anything for the month? Do I have to refund? Well, that's not the mindset. The mindset of not delivering is reactive. The mindset of being proactive is you are always delivering. You are trying to think of ways to support your clients around things that are happening. And it's also to detach yourself from being the center of what's happening to be a part of their journey. Right. And being a part of their journey means, like in divorce, they're not just getting divorced. They're looking to a life post-divorce. So how do you think through managing if they have children, managing your children before you're in divorce, managing your finances, you know, changing accounts? While that doesn't seem so legal, what ends up happening is when there's a lot of friction, it pops up in a major legal issue. Right. So we really think about what's happening in their lives currently and where they're going to go and help design services around it. But for lawyers, it's like, you know, if you're thinking about a document, your clients are, so I'll use business. I use a deal with businesses. They're about to create an NDA. The reactive way would be, here's the NDA, use it when you want to, versus saying, okay, what does it look like to grow your team? Here's how to use the NDA. It's like, you know, giving them examples of when risk is elevated if you don't use it, right? Being a part of discussion. So it's really just moving yourself out of waiting for the client to need it, to helping empower and inform the client to understand, here are other ways it touches it. And if we don't do those things, that's when we issues bubble up, right? And so we're really trying to mitigate issues. We're trying to allow them to move forward in whatever it is, business or life. And the more you can center that as the goal and what their big goals are, the more you'll start seeing, oh, there's so many opportunities to be really proactive with them that doesn't have to like sit back and wait like a gym membership does, right? Proactive gym membership would do exactly what you said, which is like send you meals, send you better ways to eat, to say, hey, how do you maximize your gym membership? You eat better. How do you eat better? Here are some great recipes that you can make quickly. Like that's how you create more value that is aligned with what you deliver. That is not, that really provides ongoing value without you working, you know, continuous hours.
And the takeaway is not go and start a gym and do these things. Although, Kim, you and I, after this chat, may have to have a conversation about that.
Hello. Or if you're a gym owner, we just gave you a lot of like examples of how you can make your gym membership way more valuable than me just going to the gym, right?
Right, just right. And you know, even though mostly lawyers are listening, you know, potential clients, this is the sort of value that Kim provides that's it goes beyond just the IP work that she does for you, right? And that's something that I want to touch on next, which is when your clients are not paying you by the hour, they're not afraid to call you. And what some of what you're talking about here is, you know, being a strategic partner, which you could do if they're paying you and you're earning that fee as opposed to sitting back and waiting for it to be earned, right? Am I on to something there?
Oh, absolutely. I think the value we sit as service-based professionals, but lawyers in particular, is not to draft the document that technology can actually just do a little bit better for the first version. It is to really be the issue spotter, the advisor, the counselor, the workshopper, right? To help them strategize on what's happening and to help develop plans and be the more of the experimenter. Right? Because there's no guarantee on any path that we take. It's all an experimentation. It's all experimentation. So, right. I mean, the value, the best things that my clients tell me is that one, like a few things. One, they tell me they are surprised that it feels like I'm a member of their team or like we're a member of the team, that we know so much about their business, right? The proactive piece of us is invested in knowing what they're doing. And so they feel like if whenever we show up on behalf of the client, they're like, who knew we were only here for, you know, not full-time like someone else. But yeah, we get to be a part of conversations that I just don't think most lawyers are, because we just don't show our value in that way. And if we detach ourselves from hours, if we really think about proactive, there's so many more opportunities, whether you're in business or you're dealing with an individual, that you really can support them. And I think that's the opportunity that subscriptions provide.
So you just touched on it, but I'd like to know more about what your experience has been with client response to the subscription model after maybe they've been on it for a time. Like that goes beyond just the surprise that they have that you know so much about their business, which is obviously a little bit of feedback. But what other feedback have you received from clients on the subscription model? And maybe even, you know, through the grapevine of the attorneys you've helped you know, maybe you've heard stories from those attorneys about their clients. Like any, like what do the clients think about the subscription model?
Yeah, they like the transparency, right? They liked feeling like when they pick up the phone, they're not going to get this obscene bill or like this obnoxious bill of like just bit after bit. They like being able to have that person that can ask, they can ask questions to, they can workshop. They like having access to information that empowers them to make decisions so that it's not only, it's not like the lawyer is the roadblock. The lawyer is just a part of the process, and they can access the information, or they can access education, or they can access the advice how they need to, when they need to. It's really feels like they're more in charge and control versus we being the control piece, and it's the partnership piece or some of the other pieces that I've heard. I mean, but clients also like just knowing they have an attorney to ask a question to. They like knowing that they have someone that they feel like newer, I would say I'm gonna say for businesses, newer business owners that are earlier in their journey. So they're just maybe crossed that first six figures and they're still learning things, and they just feel like they can move through pieces of their business faster because they have a strategic partner to support them. The folks that I know that I've worked with that are not attorneys, in fact, I also work with non-attorneys too. So I've helped like wellness coaches do some things. It's like giving their clients, well, I'll say for them, giving themselves back time to be more creative, right? To be more innovative in how they serve their clients, to think through like, how is this actually helping them do something? And then the clients on the other side feel like they understand more of what the service professional was doing. Because in the past, it always felt like in lawyer, there's a lot of like terms that make no sense. And now it's really helping them understand and then be empowered and feel responsible, a part of the responsibility for their business or their life. That not that they weren't before, but law isn't something to be scared about. It's something to help them achieve what they're looking to do. So that's what, those are some of the things I've heard at least.
Yeah. And you know, now I want to pull on that thread of, you know, you've helped other, you know, professionals or people outside of the legal profession, because you know it's easy, you know, and I know that when you start looking at the subscription model as a means of, you know, of adapting your business to you know better serve the clients through all the ways that you've discussed, you know, you start seeing how it could apply to everything. Mm-hmm. and then when you start looking at whether it's the legal profession or other professions, there's so many different ways to apply the subscription model. So whether it's just the same flat fee a month, a subscription plus additional flat fee, given all these different types of things, do you have different tiers for subscriptions? Like what are some of your thoughts on the different ways that you could implement it? What are ways that have been successful for you or that you've seen others be successful?
Yeah. So kind of going back to the earlier question too, what doesn't work? I don't think it necessarily doesn't work, but if you're a small business and you're just getting started, I think offering multiple tier subscription is not what I would recommend. I really recommend going out with one, not because the multiple don't work. It's proven they absolutely do work. The issue is your bandwidth and the ability to market to multiple either client types or segments of the client. So, and for like the other industries that I worked with, you know, there are a lot of them are service-based professionals that want to switch from hourly and move to a model where that's value focused. And so it's like, how do I realign what I'm doing to not have to always say, if I'm working, I'm making money, but I can always provide value. And those are some of the things we did.
I guess then to take it to the next step, what have you seen work in ways of implementing the subscription model? So you said, you know, a tiered subscription could work, but maybe not when you're just getting started and you haven't figured things out yet. So like in like how many tiers, you know, is a good idea? One or two or three?
Yeah.
Is it possible to have too many? You know, you know, flat fee on top of subscription? So like what happens when somebody needs services outside of the subscription? How do you handle that? That kind of thing.
Yeah. So, okay. Great questions. And they all kind of go back to earlier questions. So tiers work, too many tiers are too confusing. Take yourself out of being the one to deliver it and just the one to like, you know what works with Netflix? It's really simple. Works with Spotify? It's really simple. When you see like 10 subscriptions, you're like, which one do I choose? You're not sure. So that almost says to me that the business is confused, right? Like, who are you? Why you need to offer so many? But I would say like one level in the beginning, and then you have multiple to grow into. So your subscription shouldn't stay stagnant. You're going to grow, you're going to learn, but there are different types. And I, when I'm coaching and training, I talk about the different types, but like high level, there's like lead plus and premium. That's how I title them. And it's one is like really a one, they're all one to many at some level. what happens is as you grow, you become much more intertwined, more connected, more like a team member, the higher you get. And so the more customization you have, the more it's going to cost. It doesn't matter the level. If you want a subscription that's say like $95 a month, which it works. So my lawyers that are listening, $95 subscription works. You have to design it right, right? But it works. If you want a $95, you just know you need to hit a certain number to maintain sustainability, but it should be profitable from day one. If you have a $5,000 a month subscription, okay, you might be able to hit that faster, but it's going to take the same level of marketing. Maybe your time to close that $5,000 is longer. Maybe the time to close the $95 is shorter, but there's other things that come with it. So those are the pros and cons. You just have to know how you want to show up, right? And know the type of provider you want to be or your team wants to be. So you design a subscription to match that.
So when you talk about sustainability, that's that monthly recurring revenue that you can count on, right? As a business owner or as an attorney or whatever, you know, you are. What are some of the ancillary benefits of having that sustainable income?
Yeah, you can grow faster, right? Like you have the ability, one, you can take time off, you can grow faster, you can think through more operational and design features so that you can continue to grow. I think there's a level of profitability that becomes obnoxious. That's just my point of view, right? That if you go so far into profitability, if you're like 80% profitable, yeah, maybe there's something wrong with that number, right? But what it allows you to do is really figure out how do you detach hours from which or what they're paying you for and say, how do I give them more value? And so the more sustainability you have, the more you can think about how your team members show up, the technology that they're using, you take some downtime. That's how I'm able to travel and to talk and to not have this worry about, you know, what's going to happen the next month. That's how, frankly, I was, you know, COVID was, it's still a thing, but I am thankful that we lost no clients. He grew clients, right? Where we've gotten referrals from clients. So it allows you to hone into your well-being as well as hone into your team's well-being without it overwhelming you and overworking you.
And there's so many ways to take this. And gosh, I know that when we start going down a path, we may forget the other thing. But I think it's really important to talk about how what you just said and how when COVID happened, you know, you didn't lose any clients. In fact, you got more. And something else you had going was that sustainable business model. Whereas if you're a litigator and courts are closed and you bill by the hour, guess what? You weren't making any money. And that happened to a lot of practices. Yeah. But then that begs the question of, well, litigation, you know, that's so unknown. Who knows what's going to happen? How much time am I going to have to spend in this deposition or that deposition? You know, is the subscription model just simply won't work for the litigation, will it?
I mean, I've been told this too, but also I've convinced a few litigators to try it, right?
When I went solo, I pivoted from mostly litigation to a transactional-only practice. I did not have a database of documents to automate. That's why a business and employment legal document database and automation tool like 650 is super useful. I can rely on the quality of the documents in 650's database since they're putting excellent legal minds to work curating and updating their documents and automations over time. When you're not billing by the hour, outsourcing and efficiency matters, and 650 can help you scale your practice to get high quality documents drafted in less time. Use the code LawSubscribed at 650.com and when being onboarded to get 10% off. If you're not a business and employment attorney or you have your own documents that you'd prefer to use, then my next sponsor, Gavel, is the automation tool for you. Gavel allows you to build shareable, client-facing workflow and document automations. In other words, Gavel helps you create a legal practice where attorneys can monetize the value they bring clients in productized form and scale via subscriptions and flat fees. Use the code LawSubscribed at gavel.io to get 10% off an annual subscription. There's no one right way to automate and scale your practice, but with one or both of my sponsors, 650 and Gavel, you can take your subscription law firm to the next level. Links to both in the show notes. Now back to the show.
Here's the thing. The subscription model is not meant to cover every single thing. There are instances where if we're thinking about truly scoped work, it's outside of the scope. The transparency that you bring to your clients at the forefront and throughout the entire engagement is all about transparency. It's all about being very upfront. It's all about communicating. So you would tell your clients, I would challenge anyone that's telling me there's no predictability in litigation to take a step back and say, is that actually true? Right? At what point does 50% of your litigation process happen the exact same way? Well, that's predictability. We're not seeking for 100% very few things can be 100%, particularly if you're a service provider, probably nothing is. Otherwise, you wouldn't be a service provider. But if we can take 50% of what we do, systematize it, process it out, and really say, how do I create this value for a client that doesn't look like me exchanging time, but saying, okay, I'm starting in the litigation. We know these things are going to happen. Sometimes move through that, but why wait till you know you're going to have to be in court to start prepping the client? Because you know what that does? That stresses them the hell out. Instead, you can really think through what that experience is like from the client side and start these proactive measures to support them. Because even if they don't go to court, they're more informed. They understand the process. They will listen to and trust you more. And so you start helping them understand and prepping them in ways that you maybe would have waited for just for it to happen. Let's not do that. Let's like look at your data. What is your data saying? And then design a subscription that really follows what your data says. And if 50% of what you do is pretty predictable, well, we can create a subscription out of the 50%, and the rest of it, you design additional, you know, fees that you are transparent with the client, and you let them decide if they want to move forward in that direction.
So you talked about systematizing, and really mm-hmm. early on, you said how maybe a technology could do a first draft better than an attorney. So let's talk about systematizing it and using technology to do that. You know, what should attorneys be looking for when it comes to technology to use to help systematize their practice so that a subscription model is easier to do?
Yeah, I would think through like, what are the key elements to find the tool to allow for you to do that, right? There are going to be some core tools you're going to need. If you have a practice, you need some practice management tools, whether you're going to do your own project management turn, you make it yourself, or you leverage one that is currently on the market. Of course, I mean, I will say I spent the time now creating a tool. So there's also that, right? Where it's really where the thought is, you want to make it easy and reduce the friction for your client to leverage the information, the education, the services, the generation of a document or whatever that you're offering them as part of their subscription. You want to make it easy for them and accessible and easy for you to deliver it. So you also want a tool that allows you to do that, right? That makes it, that reduces any of the stressors that are typically associated with engaging legal services. Let's remove that and make it easy for the client to access it and making it easy for you to deliver it. And it doesn't require you to show up every single time to make that happen. That's what I would look for in tools. Like, what is it that you're doing? If you're generating a lot of documents, you need some document generation. If you're having a lot of meetings, you need something to help you schedule meetings. If you're looking at, you know, sharing information, how do you share it? And all that is how we ended up coming up with the tool that I have now. But That's what I would recommend.
And we're going to talk about that tool because you won an award. But right before we get there, I do want to mention how you said it reduces stresses for the client. And I think you're absolutely right. Does it also reduce stressors for the attorney?
Absolutely. Right. So here's what subscription does. Think about the conversations you have on email with your clients. Think about the conversations you have on email, on a phone call, or if you're in that deposition, that one-off conversation, and you're saying to yourself, you know, every client I get asks me that same question, or a version of this pops up. Well, instead of you having to wait to that one-to-one, you can leverage even that one conversation and support all of your clients on a one-to-many. And so what a subscription really does is allow you to provide that value across all of your clients. It allows you to not have to always show up one-to-one, but still be able to say, I'm answering their questions. I'm helping them move work forward, whether that looks like generating a document, filing an issue, any of that, right? So subscriptions really help you get back time, right? Like, because you're not trading time for money anymore. You're really thinking about, how do I make it good for your client without me having to show up every hour of the day to make sure I'm getting paid or giving them something.
And you know, the ABA and other, you know, bar associations are now looking at, you know, mental health in the profession, right? And like, what are ways that we could help solve this problem? And some of it is just attorneys don't have time to meditate. They don't have time to read a Hello? Book. They don't have time to do all these things. So perhaps the subscription model could be part of that solution to the mental health crisis being faced by the legal profession.
I think there are plenty of areas that we need to shift. One of the biggest areas that I think has caused a lot of issues is the over emphasis and focus on hourly as the way to say that that's our value. When courts say, oh, in order for you to receive any of your attorney's fees, you have to send me an hourly drafted, that is ridiculous. Like, clients understand what their value is. I think we need to empower our clients and respect our clients, their decision-making ability, and not treat them like children, right? And that they can't say, okay, I say yes to this client, this attorney, because they are providing this service, this value that I like. But I really believe that hourly has been a drain. When you think about lawyers sleeping underneath their desks, when you think about working, you know, 20-hour days, what is that, right? People need 8 hours of sleep. You except for like the 1% that doesn't need, or 0.01%, whatever that small percentage is, really saying, if what is a better way for people to fully show up and support their clients while also managing their well-being, it's detaching time as measure of value. And instead saying, how do I actually provide you the value you want? Not you just paying for me working for a certain number of hours.
Absolutely. And to tie that right back into the business reasons to look at the subscription model is, you know, there's only so many hours in a day. You know, what happens when that attorney is sleeping under their desk and they're billing 20 hours a day? They could only maybe bill 20 hours a day, right?
Right.
But you could...
Or cap.
Yeah. But with the subscription model, you could scale your business, right? Where you're not stuck to just hours in the day and associates sleeping under their desks.
Absolutely. And that's essentially why the $95 subscription works, right? It's not about a time. It's really about value. And it's how do you scale that across a certain type of client? You know, if you're thinking about a subscription, another thing that doesn't work is designing it for everyone. It's not meant for every single person you serve, right? It is being really clear on who is the client that is right for the subscription that you want to design. And then being focused and really working with the client to do that, or designing a subscription that really helps the client get to a certain goal. And then with a $95 subscription, for example, it is about sustainability, it is about scalability. It's saying, well, when I used to be able just to serve 100 people, how can I serve, you know, 500 and provide them the value that they're looking for, helping them to go through a particular process and be there as a support along the way.
Which brings up the access to justice aspect of the subscription model, which is, you know, if you're looking at, you know, average Joe, average Jane consumer, you know, they couldn't afford $1,000 a month, you know, to an attorney.
Right.
But this $95 a month, you know, subscription that you're talking about, you know, there's so many people out there that maybe couldn't ever even afford an attorney before. And now you're increasing affordability.
I agree.
Do you see this and I know what you just, does it conflict with what you just said, where you said, you know, you can't build a subscription model for everyone, but then there's this access to justice tier, you know, or price that maybe it is affordable to everyone. So how do you figure that out? Should attorneys avoid trying to just open up the doors at 95 or whatever price fits their market a month? Or should they really focus in on, you know, should they focus in on it or keep it open if they're looking at it from an access to justice perspective?
Yeah. So my point in that is saying the 95 works. What I'm saying is, instead of, like, you still want to scope and set expectations, right? There is still there are parameters in which you're going to work through and what you're going to work under. And those that scoping the work does that. So at the $95, my point is that, do you want to serve everybody? Is that the best way you can provide really valuable, scalable services? Probably not. And also, it says to us that can provide, you know, one person can do it in family law. One person can do it specifically in divorce. One person can do it in, you know, father's rights. Another person can do it in, you know, being adoptive parent, right? Another person can do it in every variation that happens, because the goals, the issues, the things that pop up, there are still some nuances. And so the more you can scope it and still keep it at a rate that more people can access, the more you can say, I can help you get through there, this specific reason. And if you help them in a year, then that's the term of your subscription. If you help them in 5 years, that's the term of your subscription. But you're giving people and empowering people that have a specific goal. So when I'm thinking about scoping it, they actually work together, because I believe we serve more people when we're focused on what we're trying to help them achieve, right? And if we're really focused on what we're trying to help them achieve, we design a subscription that is really aligned to that. And I'll be a little long-winded here. My team and I were talking about this today as it relates to IP. And this is another advantage. As a team, we talk about how do we serve better? How can we show up better? And we were talking about IP and thinking about underserved or clients in various, various demographics. So as a Black woman, IP in the Black community is still far behind many other communities. And the reality, the economic realities of historical issues in our country compounded the current realities, lends itself to not having as many people having access to certain services where they should be protecting. So for example, Uber, amazing. But in the Black community, in the Caribbean community, we've always had a version of that, right? The person just didn't protect it. So imagine if they had access to a service that they could pay $50 a month to start realizing that they had something that was protectable, that they can then scale and really change the scope. Does it mean that I'm going to be able to provide the same level of one-to-one? No, but that may not be what the person needs, right? You can still help them. And so having the ability to take a step away and say, how can I really achieve more equity, more justice in this industry, whether you're in criminal or IP or family or estate planning, there's so much need. And that's what I think this allows us to do, to really start honing in and how to serve clients and empower them to do some things on their own too, that the laws are people or for the people. And if they can't access it, then what is that really? So for me, that's what it looks like. And our team today, we were literally having that conversation on what our subscription would look like when we revisit to come back to a subscription that really provided more value to clients that maybe can't quite afford our $10,000 a month subscription. Okay, that doesn't mean I can't serve you. I can serve you in another way. And so I'm 100% on the value it brings to access to justice.
Yeah. And just still pulling at that thread, there's like what I hear you saying too is we need more attorneys offering the subscription model, right? Right.
Yes.
Like that's what we need.
We need every attorney to stop hourly billing. Please stop.
That's basically the mission
for your clients.
Welcome to Law Subscribe. That's the mission to inspire, but and to fulfill that mission, right? And to have more attorneys offering the subscription in the way that you're talking about. If you're a client, K Bennett Law, that's where you go. But if you're an attorney and you want to launch a subscription model, let's see, you've got the toolkit, you got the newsletter, you got a workshop, you got the collective, you got FIDU, is in short for fiduciary. Am I missing anything? I mean, you have so many offerings to help attorneys, right?
Yeah. I mean, the workshop, I also have a course, which isn't always frontward facing, but it's available too, that takes them through exactly how I've done it. But that's it, but even if you don't decide to do the things that I do, what I would say, just launch it, pitch the thing to a potential client and see. It's probably your own thoughts that are telling you the client will say no. And when clients say no, it's because we've trained them that hourly is the way. We just show them a way. There's a better way for you and for them that would really help them get to their goals. So yeah, if it's not through me, just pitch it. That's what I tell people. But yeah, we have the tool. I have the tool. I have the courses. And that's what I do in addition to my firm.
And recently within recording this, the tool just won a big award, right? You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Tell you. So I'll take a step back and say, I have thought about what it would look like for what I do to be in a tech platform. Like, what would that be? I thought about it. And then about a year ago, it started to become a reality. And so myself and Blaine, we are co-founders of FIDU. And in August, we submitted to Clio's Launch Code competition, which is a developer competition. You have to be a Clio integration. And it's about, transforming the legal industry for all as well. So as like making sure your integration with Clio is good. And so we entered, we just got in and we entered and we thought, well, let's see what would happen. And Blaine and I, we met before Clio, but after Clio a year prior, he pitched me on joining him. So this is all very full circle. And so we submitted to Launch Code and then we got the notice that we were a finalist. And we're like, are you serious? Oh, wow. Okay. Now we got to get our pitch together. And then we pitched and our pitch was last Tuesday. And then we found out on Friday that we were not only the winners of the pitch competition, but also viewer's choice. So we won both, which was pretty amazing. And I will say a lot of people have told me to help them with their subscriptions. I'm not one to talk about who I've helped. they're doing their thing. That is for them. I'm just there with them along the journey. And this is just the next opportunity for me to really help more people, you know, in a tool, and to say technology is there to support you and to help you accelerate your impact and to help you amplify it. And we should engage it because it just makes it easier for you and your clients. And we can truly achieve this, ditching the billable hour and providing really value to transform the legal industry. And we won last week. So our big thing is, you know, we believe what Clio did for the cloud, that we could do for client service and client experience, and that we can transform it by really helping people understand that there's a better way to show up. And that starts with no longer hourly billing. So well, yeah, we won $100,000, which is amazing. So
it really is. And I met Blaine back in the midst of the pandemic on Clubhouse, I remember, in like lawyer rooms. And I would love to have him on to talk more about Fidu, and so we could really do a deep dive on that. But just, I'm almost done with you here, but I want to do one more question that's sort of a touching on what you were talking about serving these underserved communities. And I think it relates to what my experience has been so far, because while this is the first episode of Law Subscribed, I have been conducting interviews for the last couple of months. And something that I've seen that you know, I'm trying to understand it in context. And the context I'm talking about is ABA releases data on the profession every year. And the 2021 data shows that what I'm calling the legacy model of law firms has failed women attorneys. It's failed attorneys of color, right? There's more women going to law school than ever before, more than men, but still only 20% of leadership at the top firms are women, even less attorneys of color. And so with the exception of one person I've interviewed, it's all women or women attorneys of color who are doing something with the subscription model and being innovative. And so my question to you is, why do you think that is? And also, is the subscription model, you know, first of all, those systems broken and it shouldn't be broken and it should work for women and attorneys of color. I think we could agree on that. But right. But why then are women attorneys and attorneys of color looking at innovative billing as a way to practice law?
Yeah, well, I will tell you from my experience and who I've supported, by and large, it's mainly women, and by and large, it's a lot of women of color, and it's particularly women. And I'll say this, I think we all know the system has failed us. There's been a lot of, for me, my journey into legal hasn't been terrible, but it hasn't been without bumps or like moments where you're like, seriously, is this what my colleague is doing, right? Or must I continue to prove myself and show my value and like always having to try to fit into a model that really didn't serve why many of us decided to become legal professionals, right? And I think this model helps you really think through a better way to serve. It brings back the creativity and the curiosity and the reasons why. I went to law school to have impact and access to justice. I really went to law school to impact juvenile justice, specifically Black girls in the juvenile justice system. Today, am I doing that in my day-to-day? No, but I really hope that what this model does is help me indirectly do that and then be able to show up in other ways to do that too. But I think really what this is saying that we all knew the model didn't work for us. And we knew there was a better way to show up for our clients. And we knew that hourly was a model that was only sustaining certain people in our profession. And we were tired of it. And for me, that's what I was tired of it. I was tired of seeing me lose money. I was tired of like what felt like I was on a hamster wheel. And as someone that's had some traumatic colleagues, you know, over the years, I wanted to be able to show up as my full self, really not have to compromise that. And every day in this model, it allows me to do that more and more because I have sustainability right behind me. I know I have these clients that I'm really serving very clearly, and I have a stable foundation that I'm not fearing what's my boss going to say, what's someone else going to say. Instead, I'm really trying to show up as my complete authentic self and really push the industry and show up in a way that I really feel like allows me to create the impact that I want. To me, that's what it is, because it's about having a business that funds your impact. That's when those that I've worked with, those that have looked into this model and said, I want a better way to fund the impact that I want to achieve. And so what is a better way? And it's a way that doesn't trade time for money and instead says, how do I amplify my impact in a way that serves my clients and it serves me and it serves the way that I best want to show up? So I think that's it, you know, and I'm hoping to see more people do it. So launch it.
And I think that's it for our show. My last question for you is a hot dog a sandwich and why?
No.
Why?
It's not. I don't have a good reason. When I think of a sandwich, I think you need to have. That's a good question. Is a hot dog a sandwich? Okay, maybe yes. It is a substance between two slices of bread. So sure. Yep. I'm going to take that. It is. Why can't it be a sandwich? Actually, yes, it's a sandwich. I changed my mind.
I love seeing the growth mindset in action right there. That's excellent.
Sorry. I had a limiting belief. I had challenged it while I was saying it, and I was like, actually, no, it is a sandwich.
Love it. Thank you so much for being on the show, Kim. If people want to reach you, everything will be in the show notes, but where's the best place for them to reach out to you?
Two places, KimberlyBennett.com or FiduLegal.com. Those are the two places if you're looking to subscriptions. Of course, my firm site is always there.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's our show. Thanks again to 650 and Gavel for being sponsors. The best way for others to discover this show is for you to share it with somebody you think would find value from it. Follow me on LinkedIn, since that's where I'm most active on social media, and click the bell towards the top right of my profile to get notified about all of my posts about this podcast and everything else I think is valuable for you to see. To get in touch, message me on LinkedIn or email kurbis@lawsubscribed.com. All links are in the show notes. Until next time, this is Matthew Kurbis with Law Subscribed.